news in Detroit recently. Last week, the Michigan-based retailer Meijer's opened its first Detroit location. This follows the news last month of the grand opening of the city's first Whole Foods market. Based on these stories, one might think Detroiters were only recently introduced to the concept of the grocery store. We know that's not true. So what's going on with Detroit's food supply? Here to give us more of a sense of the food situation in Detroit, as well as here in mid-Michigan, is Craig Harris. He's an MSU Associate Professor of Sociology who specializes in the sociology of food. Welcome, Craig.
Thank you. Very nice to be here.
So these grocery store openings in Detroit, first there's Whole Foods, now we have Meijer's. This is big news for some reason, which does seem kind of strange. Why is this big news?
Well, it's big news for a couple reasons. First of all, as you suggested in your initial comment, we did not used to think a great deal about Detroit as being a city with a great deal of food insecurity, in the sense that we talk now about food deserts, large areas of a city or of a rural region where people live at great distances from a store carrying a full line of food, not only processed foods, but also fresh fruits and vegetables. Thinking about the history of Detroit over the past couple decades, there used to be more Farmer Jack's stores there, other Michigan and regional chain stores there that gradually closed, leaving areas of the city without a what we think of as at least a supermarket, a larger grocery store. And about 10 years ago, United States Department of Agriculture began paying attention to this and popularizing the term food desert as a way of thinking about areas in the United States, and in our case, especially in Michigan, where people lived, where a large number of people lived more than a mile, more than half a mile away from a supermarket, a full-line grocery store. And that this was a problem that then led people to have to depend on perhaps fast food outlets, very reduced variety of foods available to them, especially fresh fruits and vegetables, and this was seen as a significant health problem. There's been a lot of discussion about this in Detroit because defining the food desert that way essentially ignores the local neighborhood stores that may not be carrying a full, what we think of as a full line of groceries, but may nevertheless be carrying a good variety of processed foods and some fruits and vegetables.
So these big box stores aren't coming in and saving and giving them the only food available in the area. There is some access out there.
There is access. And another thing that has gone on in Detroit and in many other cities is that more and more people are using both their backyards, their front yards, and to have their own gardens, and then are using vacant lots in their neighborhoods to have community gardens. And so one of the things that the Detroit Food Council has really pushed, and the Detroit Black Food Security Council also, is to provide more support, more assistance to people who are wanting to raise their own food, again, especially fresh vegetables, and to do that rather than saying, okay, how do we bring in a big box store, exactly as you're saying, that then is going to be the salvation of the food system. And so enabling people to produce more of their own food and, I would argue, strengthening those local neighborhood stores that are still there are also very important ways of ensuring that people have access to a good variety of fresh and safe and nutritious food.
Now, I want to back up a little bit. You already kind of discussed it, but what does a food desert exactly look like? And how, I guess, does a food desert in Detroit compare to, say, a food desert here in Lansing or, mm-hmm. or in Flint?
Well, as the U.S. Department of Agriculture has defined the term and modified that definition over the years, it is in terms of distance from a full-line grocery store. And so once you have a significant area, perhaps 10 blocks or so, 10 to 20 blocks, that is more than half a mile or more than a mile away from a full-service grocery store, that is considered a food desert. Now, you said, well, what does a food desert look like? Well, this is, I think, where it gets interesting, because to go to those areas that are marked on a map, a USDA map, as food deserts, and walk around, drive around, you do see many of these smaller neighborhood stores, corner stores. You see many community gardens, and indeed some of the larger growing efforts, the Capuchin Garden in Detroit and others, and you say, well, you know, this really isn't a food desert. There is lots of good food here, and so that I think is part of the discussion that goes on. And in terms of Lansing, the problems of Lansing are certainly nowhere near as great as the food access problems in Detroit. But there are areas of Lansing that in the past decade have had great distance from a full variety store. One of the things that's happened in Lansing and in Detroit and Flint is that neighborhood farmers markets have been created. So in Lansing, one of the biggest things going is the Allen Street Market that, again, was, as defined, conceptualized, a food desert, and a group of people both in the neighborhood and outside the neighborhood got together and said, okay, how do we make a cooperative market? How do we make a farmer's market there? And over the past several years, they have built up the Allen Street Farmers Market to the point that it now does provide fresh fruits and vegetables, meat, dairy products that are grown here in the region, produced here in the region, and available at very affordable prices to the people. And the people in that neighborhood then are able to walk to that market. It's every week. So you can count on it being there. You can count on the products being there. And again, that's a way of thinking about how do we work together to solve the problem of food security, food access, rather than saying, okay, how do we get some big transnational to come in and build a store?
Well, is having access to a store, having access to a farmer's market enough? Is the access the only part of the problem, or is there also educational facets or breaking of bad habits in those cases as well?
Mm-hmm. Like all problems, it's complex, it's multidimensional. Education is certainly a part of it, and indeed groups like the Allen Street Market, like the Detroit Black Food Security Council, do have educational programming as part of what they do. I would, and so certainly it is habits, but again, these are habits that have been created by the lack of access to a good variety of food. In Detroit, and to a greater extent than Lansing, but also for Flint and Lansing, the problems of income, problems of employment, unemployment, problems of income. So at the moment in Detroit, roughly a third of Detroit people are living below what the government defines as poverty level. roughly 60% of children in Detroit are living in households that are below the poverty level. So even when a full-line grocery store is there, if you don't have money, you don't have access.
Yeah.
And one of the statistics that we do look at is what the USDA defines as food insecurity. Roughly 25% of Detroit households have a moderate level of food insecurity. At least once a month, they do not have access to the food that they need to have a regular, just a basic diet. Roughly 10% of Detroit households have severe food insecurity. Several times a month, every month, they do not have enough food. And so that's, again, as you're saying, a combination of income as well as a combination of the existence of stores, existence of sources of food, either growing themselves or commercially purchased.
You've kind of touched on it there, but can you expand a little bit about why food security is important?
Well, I think it's important for several reasons. Perhaps one of the most important is the link between a good diet and not only good health generally, but especially for children, good development, both mental development and physical development. And so I think that is part of what is just so compelling about a piece of data like 60% of the Detroit children are below the poverty level, 50% of Detroit children are moderately food insecure. So this means that they're not getting the food they need for their bodies and their minds to grow and develop through this period of childhood. Which means that they then will enter adulthood with those kinds of restricted abilities that come from the reduced development of their childhood. In addition to that, we would like to think that we live in a country where when we see somebody with a basic need, like food or housing, food, water, housing, the basic mm-hmm. necessities, that as a society we take care of that. And to look at a situation where you have high levels of food insecurity, I think raises questions about our society and about our social order. And have we lost some of that sense of taking care of each other so that we all have the basic necessities that we need.
Well, Craig, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. Craig Harris is an MSU Associate Professor of Sociology at the Center for Regional Food Systems and the Ag Bio Research Station. Thanks again for joining me.
Thank you very, very much for having me.